two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Nice to have you with us. 23 before the hour. And last time we checked in Salt Lake City, 45, 46 degrees, I think. Sun's coming up. Going to be a beautiful day and nice and warm for the rest of the weekend. There is some rain, it looks like, in the forecast, maybe late Sunday, Monday. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Precipitation's been good to us, not only in the form of snow, but we've had more than our share, fair share of rain. Before we talk mountain bikes, I did want to mention this, and I meant to during our news of the week. Next week's a big week, and it's, again, one of those things that may be off the radar of many people, but it is the 150th. They call it Spike 150, the 150th anniversary of the driving of the Golden Spike. And our buddy Chris Dallin, actually, along with
Chris was there on the original one.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening, and he thanks you for that.
I saw him in the pictures,
Our buddy Bill Francis, who puts together this series that they have online called The Long Way Home, we're up at Golden Spike not that long ago.
We're here at the annual happens between Christmas and New Year's Steam Festival. What do you get to see, David?
So each year, from the end of October to the 1st of May, our locomotives are in for maintenance, except for this one event where we'll bring out one of the locomotives for the 3 days, 28th, 29th, and 30th of December. We do a few more runs than usual, than our summer schedule, and let you get to see steam, which is so amazing.
So the Golden Spike National Historic Site has always been one of the great things to see in Utah, but this coming week is going to be fantastic. They've got all week-long activities. Matter of fact, there's activities that are going on up there at the historic site all year, but next week's really going to be something special, and they are going to recreate the driving of the Golden Spike. They've got three of the four original spikes that were driven for the first time.
They weren't really gold, solid gold.
I don't know.
How could you drive it? Gold soft.
I think they might have been gold spikes.
Well, beside the point.
Gold-plated, anyway, maybe.
Ask somebody that was there.
Gold-plated, I think. What was that?
Ask somebody that was there.
I'll ask him.
What did you say, Matt?
I'm just saying Russ is killing dreams over here. He's like, you know, it wasn't really gold.
Yeah. That's what he does, kills dreams.
And, thanks. I like to do my best.
This next week, Bill Rogers is coming into town because he's a huge train guy. Bill's joined us on the show, a friend of mine, a friend of yours, voice at Disneyland. But he's bringing a couple of guys with him. One is a gentleman who oversees the Disney Museum in California, and I think owns himself the original Fort Wilderness train that Walt owned. So he's coming to see the festivities, and also the voice of Mickey Mouse is going to be in town, and I'm going to go up and see.
There's actually a person that is the voice.
Yes.
Mickey Mouse.
I'm going to go up and see the big boy train and all that's happening up there on Thursday. The driving or the recreation of the driving of the Golden Spike will happen on Friday, and I believe Channel 5 is going to carry that ceremony live between noon and 1 o'clock.
Oh.
So put that on your note to set the DVR or something coming up on Friday. It's just something that everybody should go up and be a part of, because it's a part of our history and was something that changed the world, really, and changed America, certainly, as the Transcontinental Railroad joined really this screwed nation stuff from coast up, to coast.
You know? Used to be you could ride a horse across.
Some people could say that.
Now you can take a train.
You are such a spoil sport.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Taylor Powers is here and bragging up this thing called the Santa Cruz 5010. And yep. I looked it up online, and I love the way they describe this. They said the 5010's balance and poise takes riders from uncertain neophyte to fledgling flyboy. I don't know.
That's me.
What brand is this?
Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
Oh, I didn't know that was a brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
They go on to say while some bikes are good at going up and down, the 5010 is a bike that's great at going up, down, left, right, triangle, square, up, 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 and away.
Yes, yeah, that's kind of the reason why I got it, because I love going downhill, and I enjoy the uphill, but it's difficult, and I get frustrated very easily, and this one just makes the uphill so easy.
Yeah.
I just fly uphill, and then I get to the top, and I can customize some adjustments and then fly downhill with a lot of airtime. And it's just the smoothest ride I have ever been on.
Well, talk to – and you're tiny, right? I mean, yeah. How tall are you?
I'm we'll say 5'3".
All right. And I don't ask you what you weigh, but you're tiny. Getting uphill on any bike is not as easy for the other three guys in this room as it might be for you.
But so the weight of the bike is a big deal for me.
So for ladies out there that might be looking for a mountain bike, I think it's important to maybe list the four or five things that you were looking for in a mountain bike, and weight was certainly one of them.
Weight was one of them. It wasn't the biggest because the bike that I had before was actually pretty light, and so I was looking for a carbon fiber, and what surprised me actually was the sand. They offer both the aluminum, or how I like to say aluminium, and the carbon fiber, but they have different components. So the weight really isn't that different. So if your price range is lower, you can still go with the aluminium.
I'm afraid most people probably go with the price point, don't they?
Yeah.
Because it's scary. This bike, if you're just looking at retail, and most times you aren't paying retail, but it's like $2,700.
Yeah.
And good mountain bikes these days are going to be in that $2,000 to $3,000 range.
Yeah, or more if you, depending on what you want.
Yeah.
So
weight was one. What were the other things you were looking for? A suspension probably was important to you. You got a full suspension.
Yeah. Well, that was non-negotiable.
Yeah.
The other thing I was looking for was the head tube angle. I got this one is a 66.5, so that's kind of what they call the slacker. So for going downhill, how playful it's going to be, and how much ease it's going to have on the downhill.
That's the angle that the handlebars are coming at you while you're sitting in the seat, basically.
It's more so. Well, maybe my knowledge is not. Well, I'll give you guys. I'll just say this. My boyfriend did a lot of the research for me, and I understand a bit, but I don't want to misinform people.
Okay.
So when he explains things, I don't press to ask further. I just say, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, but it's important to have a bike that fits you.
Oh, yeah. So pretty much I just know the number and what it means. I don't know where on the bike it is.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So I wanted something around the 66 to 67 range for the head tube angle. Lower than that makes it, I guess, more of a difficult ride or for more of an advanced rider. And the other thing that I was looking for was the travel. I got the Santa Cruz 5010 is 130-130, both on the uphill and the downhill. So the lower it is, it's going to be pretty much easier for the rider. And again, for a more advanced rider, you're probably going to want something with a higher. But I don't go that fast. I'm not trying to launch off of anything with 10-foot gaps. I just like to cruise.
Here's the other thing. You like to Santa Cruz. here's the other thing this bike provides, and most of the new ones do. Mine is old enough that it doesn't. But, man, it never made sense to me that you had to worry about, and I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to give you more range with, the difficulty of pedaling. a big sprocket and a little sprocket up front, and then whatever, however many they had on the back, 8 or 10 on the back sprocket. Now they have done away with the two in the front, so you don't have to worry about two sets of switches, two derailleurs that A are going to give you possibility of being out of alignment or being
jammed up.
You don't have to worry about it anymore. It's all in the rear.
Or losing the chain.
Yeah.
You know.
And so it's a little bit easier for most people, I think, to get into the shifting and be able to pick gears with, just off of one derailleur in the back.
The technology had to change, though, to be able to do that, to be able to have the chain move that far out of alignment with the front sprocket.
Yeah.
And that's why it's taken so long to finally get to this point.
But I think most bikes have those these days. Yeah. So weight, your boyfriend was good about making sure that the bike fit you with the head angle.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there's all the bikes, wherever you buy it from, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, they'll have all the specs.
Right.
And they'll have different tabs. So first it'll list all of the different, head tube angle and travel millimeters. And then if you go to the next one, it'll actually have the sizing. So it'll say your weight and height and kind of have these brackets of a chart to see where you fall and what size you should get.
People might be surprised at just how dialed in these bikes are.
Oh, yeah. They're very specific.
You look at all of these, the reach, the stack, the head tube angle, the seat tube length, the front center, BB height, BB drop, wheelbase, chainstay length, head tube length. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Stem length, crank length. There are a lot of things to take into consideration here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the last thing that I wanted was the progressive curve for the linkage, for the shocks, which just makes it, again, easier on both uphill and downhill for going over technical areas of the trail, whether it's uphill or downhill. It's just a smoother ride. You don't get as much impact.
Yeah. And so you've had it out on the trail.
Yeah.
Is there much downhill in this park in Draper?
Yeah, but with... It starts out, it's called Draper Cycle Park. And so there's a parking lot, and then it pretty much all goes downhill from there. Not in a bad way, just...
It's all downhill from there.
So you can do the trails, they follow the creek, and those are kind of just more basic riding trails. And then they have a bunch of dirt jump areas. And so whatever you go down, you go back uphill, but it's not, well, especially on this bike, it wasn't a big deal at all.
Do you have to jump in there, or you can avoid the jumps?
Oh, yeah, you can avoid the jumps.
Okay.
Yeah, there's sections that you would enter, kind of like when you're skiing and you go to the terrain park.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go in there. You can go around those easily. But that's kind of what the park is known for, is for its terrain, the jumping areas.
But so far you love this bike.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm excited to get out on a ride that's longer and more technical, because this park, it's either jumping or just kind of smooth trails.
I'll make this promise to you, because Navadomskis won't ride mountain bikes with me anymore. He had a bad experience with a disc brake where he ended up on his head instead of on the seat.
Yeah.
But we'll make a weekend. We'll go up to Deer Valley and we'll...
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, we'll go do some mountain biking up there. And that is a lot of fun. If you haven't been on those flow trails, maybe you have been on the flow trails up there.
I spent one day up there. And actually, ironically... I was going down, I forget which trail, and I almost got killed by a deer.
Oh, that's the least of my worries when I'm up there. Bring on the wildlife. Some of those trails are a little intimidating with the size of the berms and the switchbacks and things like that. But still, my favorite place to ride. All right, so the Santa Cruz 5010. It's just one of 10,000 bikes you can get out there. Yeah, but
it's a lot of fun.
The new technology makes a ton of difference in your ability to ride. And my wife has found that it's extended her riding ability.
Yeah, definitely.
As she has gotten older. So there are a lot of reasons to look into the new bikes. Mm-hmm. We'll break here. When we come back, we'll have some fish bites. Speaking of Navadomskis, he's on his way to the lake, the reservoir, somewhere with his float tube class. So we'll... have Navi coming up next. Fish Bites right around the corner.
lover had a wish to find himself a woman that would love to fish. One day at the tackle shop, his dream came true, and now for everyone he catches, she catches too.
Hey, Bubba.
Bubba, she fishes better than you.
I hear somebody singing.
All right, listen to this.
I saw. Ooh, he's a nice one.
Hello?
Nice.
That's the sound of a big, beautiful rainbow coming out from under the ice up at Strawberry this week as Ice Off is on. And I don't know, that ice is going to pull back quickly now. Navinovskis is not headed to Strawberry today. Where are you headed?
Yeah, we are eating breakfast in Morgan. And that's as close as I'm going to tell you where we are.
The most important part of the day, having breakfast in Morgan.
This is the breakfast segment of Fish Bites.
Well, you know, we didn't go to Strawberry. These are beginners. Half my class have never been in a lake before in a float tube. And I don't want to take them to Strawberry because, well, it's just too much for them right now. I need a nice little lake. It has no ice, and if the wind blows them, it blows them to the other side so we can go get them.
You don't have as far to go get them. I get
That's
it.
Right.
Yeah, which is more of a deal than most people would even think about. Why do you take them out float tubing so early in the season here? Is it just because you can and they're going to have lots of opportunity later?
You can and you can't. So that's two parts. First, the fishing's great right now. So the fishing's really good when the ice first comes off. And second, because the rivers are all blown out and swollen, there's no other place to fish.
Yeah.
So that's why we go. But, yeah, the spring is awesome. Like my boys were up at Ice Off. They all finished their classes on Tuesday. They went they finished on Wednesday. They went out Thursday to Ice Off. They got a bunch of them. Theirs were cuts, though. They didn't get any rainbows.
By the way, before I forget about it, I was going to say congratulations not just to Mickey, but to Mom and Dad, too. I didn't realize this was his master's. I thought he had to go back for his master's. This was his master's degree?
Yeah, he graduated last year. I don't know if you remember at this time. He graduated with a civil engineering degree last year. And then he got 7 offers for paid master's. One of them was Utah. And so he just stayed here because of Snowbird, you know. And then, so he is now a master's degree student, a professor officially.
Wow.
And then his girlfriend graduated in civil engineering last night, too, so we were up pretty late.
I'll bet you were.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed that you're already in Morgan for breakfast this morning, just as the sun comes.
Gail had to be to work at 6 over there, primaries.
Yeah.
Don't know how she does it.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, so what's on tap today?
Well, we're going to fish for rainbows, I can tell you that. And I've got some of my favorite patterns, purple and red freeloaders. I've got Kamea Rouge. I've got hotheads and crystal killers. And we're going to try to figure it out. It's their first day, so I try to pick a real forgiving spot for them. And the weather's going to be perfect. The lake we're fishing got a little low last year, like really low. Like, I hope there's fish in it. And we don't know till we get there. But I'll tell you where it was next week and how we did. And then I'll be fishing another lake. We'll be fishing the next 3 weeks of my float tube class. I have 20 students, sold out really fast. I don't put it on my webpage. Everybody says, I never see your float tube class advertised, because I don't advertise it. I just keep it with former students because I can only do about 20.
All right, so you understand, when you lay out all the names of these things...
Yeah, nobody knows.
The Pasty Gangsta, the Khmer Rouge, nobody knows what the heck you're talking about, but give us the colors you think are working now.
That's great. They're small. These are really large hooks. They're like size 10s or 8s. Purple and black, and then I've got one of them that's just red. The Khmer Rouge is obviously red. There's one, a Captain America. It's red, blue, and black. But, yeah, that's what – purples and blacks when the ice first comes off, it's always the colors. I don't know what they're doing at Strawberry, but I would suggest that's what you would do. If I were fishing Strawberry, I'd throw it up on the ice, hopefully it doesn't collect anything, and then barely pull it into the water and let it sink straight from there. All the fish congregate where there's no ice, and they'll hit that. The leeches are black and purple mostly because the – because the ice covered up all the foliage, and that's the color of the terrain.
Yeah.
So.
Ray Charles, is that one going to be in play?
No, Ray Charles is a freshwater shrimp.
Okay.
And I use those mostly in the Uinta Lakes, not so much in the lower lakes.
Remind everybody why you name it the Ray Charles.
Because even a blind guy can catch a fish.
I need that kind of help.
I was waiting for something like that.
Yeah, you had to wait.
Take my float tube class. Guess what?
What?
Next spring is my last one.
What?
No.
Yeah, I'm only going to teach fly fishing for 2 years. So I got all of next year, and there's a possibly the year after, but then that's it. I am a retired old man.
And is that when you start looking for motorhomes, or?
Yeah, well, Gail's already got ours picked out. I have to be off. I'm going to be off a year, about 10 months before Gail. I got to sell all of our crap. That's what she says. We got a lot of crap.
All right, enjoy your breakfast out there. Hope you have a great day of fishing. Congratulations to the Navadompskis crew and to Mickey in particular. He did a lot of work, obviously, to get
to this point. Hey, I totally miss you guys. I need to get back. This is a bad time for me. I'm always fishing on Saturday.
You know what? Enjoy the fishing for the next 3 weeks.
Okay, thanks, guys. All right. Y'all be safe.
All right. Navadompskis checking in with us. We got ABC News at the top of the hour. On the other side, Cubby Jones will join us. We'll talk about the big game. There was a big game board meeting a couple of days ago where they decided how many permits are going to be, you know, either gained or lost in some parts of the state. We'll try and map all that out for you. And then some other things that we wanted to ask Cubby while we've got him for the big game questions here in Utah. We got any spots to the top of the hour? We're good all the way to the top. All right, ABC News will have the latest coming up. Also in the next hour, we're going to find out about this Volandre coat, among other things, that Charlie has for you. I slipped it on. You slipped it on in the parking lot across the street. You can talk about these things, but when you realize the warmth and the weight of this, I mean, you don't worry about the price at that point. If it's going to keep you warm on the coldest of days and it's not going to weigh you down when you're hiking somewhere, these are the kinds of things you want to take into account.
Heavenly.
Heavenly was the way I feel. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about the Volandre coat. Also, Roger Agate will check in with us. I know a couple of days ago on his social media, he had a video of all of the new personal watercraft arriving for Trax Power Sports. And they have some new toys to play with. I'm always envious of that day. Even though he's getting them to rent out to other people, he still brags about the fact that he gets to take them out himself before anybody else gets to jump on board. So we'll look forward to that conversation. And then we're so proud this morning to be able to tell you that Starvation is going to be renamed, the state park up there, Fred Hayes Park at Starvation, or Fred Hayes State Park at Starvation. And we'll check in with Megan Blackwilder about that before we sneak out at the top of the hour. By the way, the greenhouse on the road today at Harvest Right, and Tom Bettis will join me with that. But first, the news. ABC is next.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.